KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 282, recorded March 24th, 2018. I am your host, Drawn Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Dawn.
Hey, everybody.
And Megamus.
Hey, what's up?
Back from his vacation that wasn't a vacation.
If that was a vacation, then I need some more work.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well, like you know, you said, I know you've told several people, you know, it happens every year around con times. You have several weeks that you're going to be gone for cons and travel and family vacations, and then you were doing other things, so.
Yeah, what Duron means by other things is there's this thing called a job, and one, we have to do this twice a year, 2 months out of the year. I have to do work weekends, and that was my month to do it, so I couldn't be on. So that'll happen one more time, and then I'm good for the year. So I'm good for another 5 months, so I'm good.
Oh, well, and that doesn't include cons and stuff, though, too.
No, those come up from time to time. But as far as a whole month, no, that was all work-related, you know, that wonderful four-letter word.
Yeah, the dirty word. Dirty word.
It's a dirty word.
Dirty word. But we've had, you know, several good guests on. You know, we've had Aaron Archer on a couple times in the interim. Had some really, really good discussions with him. And part of what we're going to be talking about tonight, several fans actually mentioned to me at Lexington Comic Con a couple weeks ago. They wanted to hear Headmaster Don's perspective on the closing of Toys R Us. So I'm going to be asking Don some stuff on that. We're going to be talking about something that actually, you know, every now and then, something that'll come up in a discussion in a Facebook group that I'm a part of, you know, and I'm a part of many, I'll see something and I'll read something that kind of strikes me as odd. And this is one of those situations where I read it and I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with that because it goes against something that I've come to believe. And it's a subject that we've actually touched on before, but we went a totally different way with it. You know, what do you consider vintage? Today we're going to be talking about what is the definition of vintage toys. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there that will argue the point of what is considered vintage. Yeah. And, you know, there is an argument for, and Brett's cracking his knuckles too, because I know this is right down his alley. You know, there is an argument for and against certain items that can be considered vintage. But we're not going to necessarily talk about specific items per se. You know, this is vintage, this is not, that's vintage, this is not. We're not going to be doing that per se. We're going to be talking, we may mention some examples, but we're going to be talking about what exactly is the definition of vintage. And you'll find that there really isn't a definition for it when it comes to action figures. as it were. At least there's not a official definition of it. We're going to be talking about that. And we're also going to do a little something tonight different, since we're kind of one short. Something that we haven't done in a very, very long time here on TFYLP. And that's going to bring back, once in a while, we'll bring back a classic segment.
And tonight, a vintage segment?
A vintage segment of TFYLP. And tonight we're going to be doing, now it's time for Ouch, My Wallet. So let's do a little bit of Ouch, My Wallet. And Don, tell us what made your wallet say ouch lately.
I've not been on for a couple of weeks due to various things and sundries and such as much. So I have quite a bit.
And also cast rotation.
Yeah, cast rotation. I'm going to go through, a lot of it is Transformers, a lot of it's not Transformers, a lot of it is like the hell, but I got a good eclectic mix. Okay, starting off, everyone knows I'm an anime fan, you know, but I like a lot of the vintage slash classic animes, and I will freely admit one of my favorites is Sailor Moon. You know, I like Sailor Moon, I'm sorry, I think it's a fun little show. So I picked up the 4 out of the 5 Inner Scout transformation wands. They don't do anything. There's no electronics, and they replaced it. They replaced what electronics there were in the Japanese version with glitter water in these. But they're still nice. They're relatively inexpensive, and they look good with the figure arts figures that I've got in the other room. So I've got those. So there's that. I just need Sailor Venus to make the set. I picked up the last two components to War Giant from Iron Factory, the Onslaught, the Blastoff, and the Vortex. I've already had the other two, so I'll be...
I need a combined pick. Come on.
He hadn't even opened them yet, Brett.
I care. I have not bought one, waiting to see what these would be like. So
I'm waiting on
you.
Okay, I'll get the other box and put all three boxes together. That's your combined pick.
Yeah, that'll seal the deal for me.
I also picked up, I've been on this weird, I'm an Autobot person, even though, you know, it's very interesting. Back in the day when Roxy and I would talk, we would have some very interesting conversations with our viewpoints, with me being mostly Autobot, her being Decepticon. We had some interesting conversations back in the day. But I've been on a Megatron kick lately, and which is weird for me, but I picked up Despotron from one of the Black Friday sales. It was $70. It's a good looking figure, and I wanted to get it. I also picked up the Infinite Transformations Masterpiece Megatron. This one's a little different than the regular Masterpiece in the fact that they molded a back plate that covers all those back hinges. Based on some of the reviews that I've read,
wasn't a problem for me.
Well, it's something I didn't have to really pay any extra for to get, like an add-on kit.
They included it, so it's okay.
Well, I mean, it's just, it does help even out the back. Plus, I have not transformed him yet, again, just lack of time. But from the reviews that I've watched, there's actually some improvements in some of the jointage. Plus, this one, now this may be a little less, I'm gonna see. And
that is awesome.
The best part's yet to come. How much did you pay for that?
The Infinite Transformations, I got it from a seller off of Facebook, and I'm blanking on the name right now because I'm so tired, but I will give them a shout out on my Twitter account when we're done, once I double check the name, because it was recommended to me by a reviewer off of YouTube. This was $120, and it does, like I said, it also includes a Canon that has the Chinese language as well. So you get Chinese Galvatron. So I got that because I liked Masterpiece Megatron, but not for $240. That was just a little.
That was an ouch my wallet price.
And in addition to that Megatron, I got this Megatron. Y Zhang's upscale Megatron to go with their upscaled Optimus Prime, of which I have the clear version that I've shown off before.
Hmm.
Just for comparison's sake.
Wow, he's huge.
Well, he's got his little son.
Yeah. So, but again,
it's like adolescent Megatron. You got adult Megatron and adolescent Megatron.
So, yeah, and again, this the Wajang Megatron is basically a brand new sculpt for them. This is the one that had Laserbeak as the silencer, which I thought was a really interesting take on that. And I've got several Wajang pieces, and their quality has always been really good. So I wanted this Megatron to go with that Optimus that I had. I picked up, I now have all of Wave 2 Power of the Primes. Spent a little more than I probably should, but with the distribution as the way it is right now, I really got tired of looking in my area, especially with a particular store closing that we'll talk about in a little bit. But I've got, you know,
I'm still waiting on my Wave 2 stuff. I know Captured Prey, I've got all of mine pre-ordered and paid for through Captured Prey, but his distributor is like dragging their feet getting them to him.
Yeah. So the first thing I got was, of course, the Duocons. I got the Duocons.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I got Tailgate.
Now, I did find Tailgate in store, so I picked him up.
Yeah. Then I picked up off eBay the Voyagers and the Deluxes. I went ahead and got those because, again, there was an eBay rebate, eBay bucks thing going on, so I didn't overpay because I got some of it back that way. So I'm looking forward to digging into all of those. I picked up in the stores. I picked up Rodimus Unicronus. Not quite sure why, but I did.
Because he looks like Lemmy from Motorhead.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Oh, shame on you.
I'm full of shame.
Yes.
Thanks to my friend John DeLuna over RFC, I got Thermidor. And Legend.
I gave up on RID 2.0 a long time ago. It's just,
well,
I know it's the line that's aimed right before, you know, the teen to adult collectors, but it just, the line is just, it's some of them were fun toys, but the build quality was just so damn cheap on them. It was hard for me to enjoy them.
Well, here's the thing. Thermidor and Bludgeon are tail end pieces. We all know how those are hard to get out. I have Bisque open, so I'm really not planning on opening Thermidor. And if you listen, you can hear Eric Crownover screaming because I'm not opening up a Bisque toy. And then Bludgeon, because this mold in those colors,
it looks works.
Pretty nice. That looks good.
It does look good. It does look good. I wish I could find a second one to leave now, is on that card.
The Megatronus mold slightly retooled?
Well, it's the Blast Charge. The Blast Charge was the first retool of it, and then the Bludgeon was the retool of that one.
The base mold was Megatronus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was starting to say it looked like it had the same alt mode.
Also, again, you know, I'm a man of many, many likes and such. I got another Tommy.
Dino Thunder Black Ranger.
Yes, I know Ranger. I have a dog in the background. I'm sorry, people.
Dino Thunder Tommy Black. And with Bandai losing the license to Power Rangers next year.
Shocking.
I don't want to pass up on any figures that I do want. I'm praying we can still get Lightspeed, but I'm really not holding out hope on getting Lightspeed Rescue by that point. Last thing I got is I saw Pacific Rim 2 yesterday, and no spoilers. It's just for those of you that understand when Robin says how no one is ever just whelmed. I was whelmed, you know, the first one I was telling Duron, the first movie, even though it was basically a TV tropes page come to life, was still fairly fresh and exciting. It was something different, despite being familiar. The second one feels a little thinner, if that makes any sense. But
I don't think the hallmark of the Pacific Rim films are a plot. You know, you don't go into it expecting Lord of the Rings. Well, you know, you want to see giant mechs fighting giant alien creatures, and
Oh, and you
and
get
being
that.
Awesome. That's all. That's all it needs to be.
Right.
You know?
That's true. But I do want a little bit more character development. So if and when we get the third one, which was hinted at in the post credits trailer, no spoiler. Everyone knows that. So, you know, there's that. But I never bought any of the toys because the first round of toys was made by NECA.
And they were awful. NECA, let's be honest.
NECA is not they're like early McFarlane Spawn toys. They're beautifully sculpted. They look great. But when they break coming out of the package, there's a problem. They're now being done by Bandai in their Robot Spirits line. Which is basically part of the Gundam, part of the Gundam verse. So I picked up Guardian Bravo. He's the one that uses the whip. Of course, I got Gypsy Avenger, which is the successor to Gypsy Danger. Titan Redeemer is the one with the giant spiked mace, and probably my favorite looking, pretty much exactly my favorite looking one. Is Saber Athena.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Orson picked up a couple of them, and he is just gushing about the posability on them. And I'm like, if I had room for another collection.
Yeah. You know. Well, now, granted, two of these did come from that store that's closing. So that's kind of why I wanted to get them while they still had them. So other than one or two more that I would like to get, and again, it's shows the company that makes the toy makes you want to buy it or not. Because I didn't want anything to do with NECA. Mm-hmm. I didn't want none of those toys because of the cost versus the build quality. But I am willing to pay a little bit more because I know this Bandai line. I know the Gundam stuff they do in this line. And if it's carried over to these lines, this Pacific Rim line, I'll be glad to have some mechs like these.
As Sir Paladin says, Saber Athena, a.k.a. Baymax, lost a lot of weight.
Well, for you old school anime fans, now I'm going to hold this. I'm going to hold her up. Saber Athena has a very bubblegum crisis kind of armor to me. And for you old school anime fans, you know, maybe you might recognize that as well. The only weird thing that about these Pacific Rim figures is the pricing structure. And I talked with the XV on Twitter about this. Gypsy Avenger is $20. That's your base price. The rest of them are $30, and some of them have less accessories. So it's don't snag like four of them and thinking they're all be $20 a piece because they ain't.
You're gonna get slapped. Yeah.
But again, most people would buy if you're a kid and you've got some allowance, and you come out of Pacific Rim, you're going to want the main thing. You're going to want Gypsy Avenger, and that's the one that's $20. But like in a lot of Gundam stuff, the main Gundam is not the most interesting. It's the auxiliary Gundams that's the most interesting designs, and that's to me what this was. The other Jaegers was a lot more visually interesting than Gypsy Danger. But again, I might have been used to it by this point to that character. Other than that, Massey got his shots, and
that's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for
no,
me.
Massey got his shots, not Massey got shot. You know, let's just clarify that. That.
You know, yeah.
Don
yeah,
doesn't got, get you know something.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's everything I've gotten over the past few weeks. In a nutshell.
Yes. Now, I want to state, you know, we are live this week. We've been pre-recorded the last few weeks because my computer has just been having all kinds of issues. And I am in the process of rectifying that. Orson with Captured Prey, he's assisting me, and we're going to build a home build. And we've selected the parts that we need to build this thing, and the computer that going to replace this one with is going to cost me about 1500 bones. But it is going to be a beast. It's going to have, you know, for those of you who are in the know, it's going to have a Core i7 in it, 32 gigs of RAM maxed out to 64. You know, it's solid state hard drives all around. So it's going to be snappy. Hopefully, you know, here in the next next month or two, you know, we'll be getting out some good HD quality episodes, and it'll look good. And I'm hoping that everybody's enjoying the stream tonight. I'm not streaming in HD just to kind of cut down on the CPU usage on this computer. So hopefully it'll continue going good. If we crash, just before we get any further, if we crash at any point during this podcast, we will shut it down and pre-record the rest. But just please stick with us. And I apologize for all these technical difficulties, but that's what happens when you get a computer that's starting to push 10 years old and you're using modern current software with it, you know?
Yeah, trust me. For someone that used Windows 98 up until 2009, I get where Duron is coming from.
Well, so, to give you an idea, the software that we're using to broadcast with, the minimum recommended CPU that is recommended for this software is a Core i5, which is not what I have. I have a Core i3. Which is, second gen Core i3, and they're on like seventh gen right now. So,
so basically, Duron's computer is like I'm pushing it to the max.
I'm looking at the CPU usage right now, and I'm bouncing between 98 and 100%. So I will be happy to get a new computer in here, but I'm going to have to pay on it as we go. It's going to be an expensive process, and we're going to build it in increments. But it's really cool. It's going to look cool. It's going to have an orange LED in it, glow. You know, it'll look alien. although I should get it teal, kind of TFYLP colors, don't you think? I don't think there is a teal option on it, but anyway. Plaid. Yes, plaid. They've gone to plaid. Before that, we'll be shooting toys out of our nose. If you get those references, kudo.
And if you don't, watch Spaceballs.
Yes.
Best show ever.
Mm-hmm. So, Brett, what made your wallet say ouch recently?
Well, my list's not nearly as long as Don's. But I'll start far back and move forward. And I'll start with because this is great because, you know, he already bought one. But I, too, because I'm not paying $240 for a Masterpiece Megatron. And, yes, now here's the difference. I got mine, and, yes, it has the back plate. All right? But I opted for some really, really horrible. Let me see here. I got a game to talk. I got a game to talk in the middle, right?
Oh, right, it's got what is it, Galvatron that had those sounds?
But there's two different ones. There's two different. It comes with two different barrels, and both of them, I don't know what the heck they're saying. So I just picked one of them. But anyway, the difference was is because I didn't get the U.S. recording. That was $75 shipped.
Oh, nice.
I can't beat that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I went Don and I'll mix to the max on that one. I was very happy. Once again, that was
you still get the mold, you still get the joy of the transformation. Yeah,
absolutely. So,
and believe me, I would have loved to bought a Takara Masterpiece Megatron, but with their QC on the cone heads that we've seen in the past, like your cone heads, Brett's, that's why I'm not dropping that money for Dinobot. That much money for right. I'm just.
And here's one thing. Now, see, I went through Facebook and I found a guy and everyone vouched for him. Came from China. I got it in 15 days from China. But the main thing I wanted, they had different variations. I don't know if you talked about this, but it had to do with the stupid head sculpt and the paint where the forehead wasn't painted. The little makes his brow. Those weren't painted on some of them. Well, I waited till this one came out. And I'm assuming what happened was after I got this one is when you got yours, it had the U.S. Sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for $75 shipped, I can't beat that. So that was my big purchase in January. I have to go by months because I haven't been here for a while. So that was like January.
But it was late January. You was here in late January.
I was, but I got that. I guess I got that in, maybe it was February. Maybe the beginning of February. Anyway, see if anyone remembers this. This is from TFCon.
Oh.
Okay, this was a custom kit that they made available. And it was the reformatted Seraph something or other.
Seraphis Primacon?
Kinzundike.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But what they wanted to do is they wanted to make it into Optimus Primal. So I can't paint worth a crap. So I had my buddy do it. And I just got it last week.
Oh, nice.
And it is freaking amazing. And unfortunately, there's no HD. This man does amazing work. Amazing work.
And that's a lot of white paint trying to be covering up, too.
Yes. And it's just, I mean, all around. He did the forearm blasters. He did everything. This even has weathering on the faceplate. I mean, it's just... So, that was one thing. And I couldn't wait for that. And then I'm going to go to something. I'll go one more thing and a couple things. At the Lexington Comic Con, I picked up one thing. My goal was not to buy anything. I bought a few comics and that's it. I'm like, I'm done. This is a comic convention. I'm just going to get comics. And the guy next door had this.
Nice.
Which is a Korean Kabaya 1:1 scale Ravage in blue and nice white plastic.
Yeah, so basically Cobalt Century is what technically.
It's beautiful. And so I got that. I got that for $25. My big purchase at Columbus Toy Show, which was I was at last weekend. Believe it or not, I was able to pick up. Whoops!
Oh,
I got a set of these are real.
Oh, real.
These are real.
Yeah. Oh wow! Garafi and Noizu, is that who
yes.
that is? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
I still need the other two, but yes, these are real.
That set you back a pretty penny.
that was a trade. A lot of trade fodder.
That right there, folks, for those of you watching live, you know, I've talked about some of the deals that I've got because being older, when I started collecting the Japanese stuff.
I can tell you right now, the HD doesn't do any justice to how old he is, but go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day, you know, this stuff was still everywhere in Japan when I started collecting the Japanese stuff. So I got Overlord for $60. I got Star Saber for $70. I got Galaxy Shuttle for $50. So, I mean, you know, I was getting this stuff for not much above Japanese retail. But I never had a chance to buy. When I learned that those cassettes existed was BotCon 94, thanks to our friend Tony Prieto. We all know Tony. Mm-hmm.
He had them
and he told me all about them. And I never had a chance to buy them at a price because they were expensive even then. And you add 30 years on top of that.
How about this? Okay. First of all, just so people can know the going rate on these, a friendly price for these is probably $800 for the set.
Yeah.
I've seen them go from.
That's being generous.
That's a friendly price.
Yeah.
I, of course, got them for less than that in trade, but that's beside the point. I remember when I could have gotten the set of four at. Was that 06? Was Lexington, right?
Yes.
BotCon 2006. Yes.
Yeah.
A guy had all four of them, and I'll never forget this. They were all stacked up, wrapped in Saran wrap.
They were all
squished together.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, and he had $1,000.
That was the first time I ever saw them in person.
Yeah, and I went, there ain't no way these stupid little cassettes are worth that. Yeah, I wish I would have bought this.
Yeah,
I'll probably wind up paying that just for the other two.
Well, Brett, you said you've seen KOs. There were some high-quality KOs of those sets, and you've seen them go for like $100 to $200 just for the KO sets.
Let's put you this way. When I knew I was getting these, I had a set of the knockoffs, and I took the whole set, and I sold them at Lexington, and I sold them at a friendly price of $300 for the set of four because they go for $400. I've seen them as $500. I mean, and that's for the knockoffs. Now, granted, knockoffs, they're pretty daggone good. They're really good. The only difference I can tell is the rivets.
I've held the knockoffs before. That's
the rivets and the – they don't combine very well, and some of the joints are loose. But the big tail is the rivets and this. If you ever – and there's a guy actually on eBay right now selling a set of these. And guess what, guys? They're knockoffs. And he's not really telling people. The dead giveaway is the card. And I really don't know how else to say it except that here's the tape. Okay, here's the tape. Here's the card. The card's almost twice as big as the tape. On the knockoff, it's almost 1-to-1. This card is small. Yeah. They shrunk the card for some reason. That is a dead giveaway.
That is on the knockoff, right?
On the knockoff. The original one is this big. It's as big as all the other Takar cards that came out through all the other ones. You know, now, six shot and all those heavies.
That's the only time I've ever actually got to handle those molds is I've handled the knockoffs. And they're great molds. I really wish that we'd gotten them here in the U.S.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Now, if you look at the rivets, I'm just real, real quick little tutorial here. And I don't know if you can see it. The rivets, they are a machined rivets on the female side. The male side, of course, is the one that sticks out. The female is indented. Those were actually, someone put those in and they used a drill bit and drilled them out to flatten them. On the knockoff, they didn't use a machine, so that's a tail time. But I did want to add one more thing. I picked up one more thing. I was really frugal these past few months, but a show came out a little while ago that I actually really, really, really love, and they don't have any product, but Shapeways and 3D printing and everything and the wonderful Facebook, I was able to get a couple of 3D printing renditions of this, if anyone knows what this is.
Looks familiar.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen it. I'm not sure what it means.
Let me look at it.
Is that the Orville?
It is.
Oh, okay. That
that's their badge. And this is their gun.
Oh,
it's a 1-to-1 scale replica of the gun that was 3D printed. And I just had to have it.
They're supposed to came back after the first of the year with like a second part of the first season.
They're doing the second season, comes out towards the end of the year. They're doing the half seasons like Walking Dead and all the other shows are doing now.
Hmm.
So they're already scheduled for another 11 or 12 episodes, which they're filming right
they
now.
Are, they
the
are
thing
hot.
About that is,
they are
is
hot.
That if you watch that, and if you can't find someone that was in any of the original Star Trek series, you're not looking hard enough.
Yeah.
Because there's someone from Star Trek in every episode, whether it be Deep Space Nine,
I have to
Voyager,
say,
Next Generation.
I have to say, I think it was the last episode or next to last episode, whenever Robert Picardo popped up there as a father of one of the characters. I think, what was her name? The first officer. It was her father. He plays her father. And whenever he popped up on the screen.
Comes back for the second season.
Yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm like, please state the nature of the medical emergency or something.
By the way, interesting side note. One of the upteen times that we went to California for BotCon, I can't remember, but the hotel we were staying at, their workout room and everything was closed down for renovations. So they offered free admission to like an LA Fitness or whatever down the street. So we went down there. I know, shocked. You know, geeks had actually worked out, but we did. And guess who was there?
We kind of need it for your job.
Yeah, but guess who was there?
Robert
Picard.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to watch it. I talked to him for a few minutes and, you know, let him on his way and everything. But that's another thing. At Lexington Comic Con, did I tell you that I met Billy D. Williams?
No.
Yeah. Met him in the lobby bar.
Wow.
He was sitting down talking to his son. I went over and talked to him for a little bit. It's weird stuff like that. And Don, you can attest to this. Going to these conventions and everything, man, I'm not big on standing in lines just to get someone's handshake and you know, autograph and picture.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough, you see these people out, take a freaking chance. Go up and talk to them. Be respectful.
Be respectful. Be polite.
Yeah. My one close encounter like that came at an opportunity when that would not have been appropriate. Glenn Morshauer, you remember him from the Transformers live action movies.
Was the kid?
Glenn Morshauer. He was the general or Colonel Sharp or whatever it was. Yeah. He was at Lexington Comic Con about 3 or 4 years ago. And I went to the restroom and I walked up to the urinal and I suddenly realized the man taking a piss next to me was Glenn Morshauer.
Okay.
Asking him to shake hands at that time would not have been wise.
Boys and girls, just remember that when you're in the restroom, that is not a good time to ask for an autograph. However, and I am reminded of Adam Sandler that said, if you want an autograph, either you need to get me some snow. So, probably not the best time to ask for an autograph, and I certainly wouldn't want to get a handshake.
Not until he washed his hands or something.
So, I didn't get a whole lot of stuff, but I got some good stuff, and that's what I've been doing. So, I've been kind of frugal recently with my money.
The last probably 3 weeks, I've went gangbusters on stuff, but.
You bought some stuff for me.
Yeah. I'll just go back to Lexington Comic Con and start there. From Megamus, I bought a complete G1. They're here in the case. I don't want to dig them out, but I got a complete G1 Getaway, G1 Mind Wipe, and Skull Cruncher, all complete. All look great. The Getaway needed a little bit of de-yellowing, and I've put it through two treatments of the hydrogen peroxide, but where it's wintertime here right now, I'm not getting the full sunlight, so I'm going to wait till summer. It's lightened up a little bit. It's the sides and the bottom is like bone white now. It's just
there's another way you can do it with a paste.
Yeah,
you can look online for that. I don't like doing that. That's direct contact.
Yeah,
I like the way I told you about better. But I think that if you're using that much chemicals, that eventually it's going to brittle the plastic.
Well, what I want to do is I've got a G1 Triptychon that's got some heavy purple yellowing on it or discoloration, and
nice green.
Yeah, well, it's like a dark deep purple as opposed
to. Oh wow, you're really that's really yellow. It turns brown.
Yeah,
If it turns brown, that's bad.
Yeah. But I got it for $30, so I can't complain, you know?
Sure.
I want to probably try the paste on it, but finding it, it's not something you're going to find at Walmart. You need to go like a Sally Beauty Supply. It's a gel, I think, actually.
It is, but I tell you, the easiest way is if you can get the parts off to where they have no metal pieces, like take the screws out and everything, you can just submerge it.
Mm-hmm.
In that hydrogen peroxide, actually drop it in a jar, and it takes one day, and it will turn white.
Yeah, I've been able to leave it out for like 6-7 hours before, and you know it doesn't do it totally, but you can tell it has helped. But you know, I picked those up from Brett, and then from Captured Prey. I'm going to do a little preaching right now, and a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people on the fence one way or the other about third party. Some people love third party. Some people hate third party. But, let's give credit where credit is due. Some third party people really bust their ass out there and they do some great, great work. And these come from people that have worked on third party and are still working on third party. But they are first party, and that are the Unrustables, the Unrustable Bastards.
So that are them.
This is Burly. He is like the main character, and I absolutely freaking love these things. They are not intended to be Transformers or like Transformers. However, they are transforming vehicles that turn into they're bikes that turn into robots. The riders actually turn into the chest of the robot. So they, so if you're into Transformers, you'd really get into these. Here's this is Burly. He's in robot mode.
Is that the one that I was messing with?
The yellow. Yes. It was the yellow. The orange. Yeah. The orange one. Yes.
Okay. So and one this, thing I just wanted to add when you showed me those is you can actually put those on where they're on their wheels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll stand.
I'll show that here in a second.
And we did different poses, and I did the one hand stand sitting right there at the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are, they're solid. Yeah. They're really solid.
This is, this one right here is all white and gray. This is the bike mode. This is Spectre General. so you can obviously see the Transformers homages in it. But they're great. This is something that that Brett was talking about here. You can see, you know, the full on robot mode. The posability on these things are great. They're not floppy. Great build quality. They're manufactured by Maas Toys, M A A S Toys, Maas Toys or Maas Toys, however you want to pronounce it. So it's people that do some third party stuff. But you can like fold the feet up. This is actually part of the transformation, but it allows you to do that and give him a give him wheeled feet. And I was actually able to get him to stand this way. I mean, he needs, you can't just put him on a display case and leave him like this without some additional support. But
well,
it's,
if you
still
remember,
cool.
I did the one hand stand pose. You can do one hand and have him stand, and he'll stay there. It takes a little bit, but they're very well made. They're not floppy. I mean, they're just...
The balance is
very
awesome.
Nice. Yes. And if I remember correctly, is there any die-cast on that?
No, there's no die-cast. It's all plastic.
So, you know, Masterpiece, they always put that die-cast to make him heavy so he'll stand or whatever, because it's not balanced right. This doesn't need it.
No, the joints are all tight. Now, I will have to say... The prospects, this is a prospect. You can get like a little booster pack, and it's basically a rider, and they come with all kinds of accessories. You know, you can, like the chest panels, you can swap those out to give them different look, different faces, different heads. The customization on these things is insane. And I've seen several of the customizers. I know Get Right Robot, he did an amazing one of Armada Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
It was a customized Armada Sideways. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And that's the beauty of these things. They're intended to be customizable however you want them. You can create your own color schemes. And what's great is there's a lot of ball joints and easily accessed screws, so you can actually swap parts because, you know, it's all the same base mold. You can swap parts and create different color combinations to make your own personalized robots.
I know they didn't do this on purpose. I know they didn't. But if anyone is sitting here thinking about, man, I can make a nice Junkion squad out of that, you can.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
absolutely. Not that was intended or anything.
Yeah, but they're a different kind of bike. They're more like an Akira-type bike.
They are.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the anime Akira, which, you know, from the 80s, there is a convention exclusive, a Kickstarter exclusive that you can get. Or I know Capture Prey has several. Well, not several. There's probably three left, honestly. It's not really several, but he has three left of the Otomo. And it's an all red and black bike. It is based on the anime Akira, the bike from that show. At least the color scheme is and everything. It is amazing. And it has some very not kid-friendly stickers on it that are available. You can put F it all and shit and all kinds of stuff on it. But, you know, you can customize it however you want. They are so awesome. The Unrustables, you can check them out at mayhemmechanics.com, I believe. Just Google it, Mayhem Mechanics, or the Unrustable Bastards. They are really, really awesome. I can't glow about them enough. And for further information on the Unrustables, you can go back into TFYLP's library and find the one we actually had Sid Beckett on here to talk to us about them, because he works on the Unrustables, and he told us quite a bit about them back then. And they had a very successful Kickstarter here a while back, and these are the fruits. They're getting ready to start another one later this year for some new figures in the line. And essentially, you know, they're trying to get the line off the ground, and none of them are really getting paid right now. They're basically taking the money that they're getting from these guys and helping pump into development of the other ones. And now they're doing a Kickstarter to get the other ones produced. And there will be some fiction, from what I understand, coming out very soon. I don't know exactly when, but I just keep hearing the word very soon. The Unrustables, I can't glow about them enough. But I picked those up at Lexington Comic Con. I spent quite a pretty penny on all those. And then today we had our Midwest or Kentucky Transformers meetup. And we went by the Capture Prey warehouse, and I picked up some things. Capture Prey had these on clearance. There was a couple of them left, and I went ahead and picked up the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile here, the Unique Toys Sorter. I got it for $60. You know, I mean, for $60, I can deal with the Wiener Mobile mode, and it's probably the best Sandstorm that we've got so far. Picked that up, and then finally knocked the dust off my pre-orders for LG Genrai and God Bomber, and finally got those in, so I can't wait to tear into those. Haven't even had a chance to open them yet. And I picked up the Bad Cube Insecticons. They're pretty good. I had the Fan Toys ones, and I really liked them. They look great, but that kickback absolutely killed me on them. The build quality on kickback was absolutely horrible, and that from the Fans Toys. So I sold them all, and I got the Bad Cube ones, and I don't have an issue with any of them. They are relatively easily transformed. They don't feel fragile, and they look great in both modes. So I highly recommend the Bad Cube Evil Bug Core. Give them kudos. Have you messed with them, Don?
I was going to get them because a couple websites, apparently some were found and they were made available to some websites for discounted price, but I'm kind of Insecticoned out. I got the deluxe set from Fans Project of the three deluxe Insecticons they had in the set a while back, and I just, the other things were more of a priority, so.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's move on to our two main topics of discussion. You know, I know Brett stepped away for a moment, but, you know, we've been kind of filling the time right here with the Ouch My Wallet segment, and I hope everyone enjoyed that. And if everyone enjoys the Ouch My Wallet segment, please let us know on our Twitter account, at TFYLP, you know, or you can tell us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. If you love the Ouch My Wallet segment and would love to hear us talk about what we got each week, let us know. You know, if the fans want to hear what we got, then we'll talk about it. You know, I did away with the segment here several years ago, mainly because, in my opinion, every podcast does basically an Ouch My Wallet type segment. And I wanted to make us different, but I think we still stand different enough from other podcasts that we still have room for it. I just find that the segment can tend to go long. And if you hear what people got every week, then it can tend to get a little bit repetitive, especially if the same people get, or different people get the same item on different podcasts. So that's why I did away with it. But if you guys really, really want to hear it, you know, I'd be open to bringing it back. So please let us know. we'd love to hear. This show's all about the fans, and because we're fans too. Let us know. Jay Zachary loves it here. Jason Tate says, yeah, show and tell should always be a part of a good Transformers podcast. So that's good feedback. We love to hear it and keep it coming on.
I agree. I mean, but definitely, like you said, if people want it, great. If they don't, then we don't. But I look at that our group has such a wide variety of people. I mean, we have, you know, average collectors, super collectors. I mean, we've got such a broad gamut of people that it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that Don picks up while, you know, I don't know all about it, but that's okay. It's just different stuff. And I mean, I'm not even going to say I don't understand some of the stuff, but there's other collectors that do. And same with me, you know, I mean, people look at, there's guys out there that look at, you know, the vintage stuff and be like, why would you pay that much money for that? So it's, but we cater to, we try and cater to everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not
and we're
just,
all collectors.
You know,
we're all collectors and fans, you Absolutely. Know, maybe sometimes we'll find a deal or, you know, our opinions on certain things may be different than, you know, my opinion on it may be different than Don's, you know, it's mean? Like. You know, I've
it's
heard so many mixed
right here. Don looked at this and didn't even know what it was. Yeah. I mean,
and I've heard yeah. so many mixed reviews and feelings on fans or on Unique Toy Sorter.
I'll be honest with you. I can't wait to hear your review on that one. I'd like to know just how good that one is. Cause I've heard so many different, I mean, it's,
I've heard a lot of
good
bad,
to bad
about it. Yeah.
I mean, so different.
I mean, it's the only reason I stayed away from it is that while it looks good and it looks the part in robot mode.
Yes.
And the helicopter mode looks decent. It's the dune buggy mode that isn't very dune buggy. It looks more like the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. And that
yeah, but,
killed the toy for me.
But look at the G1.
Yeah. But it looks,
the G1
it,
had
it at least
a great,
looked like
I mean,
a
it was
buggy.
A nice boxy, wait a minute, the G1 was a nice boxy robot. And then it turned into a helicopter, which is nice and boxy. And then it turned into the dune buggy, which looked like crap. That, at least, in robot mode, I think it looks pretty good. It's got mm-hmm. the little box appeal of a G1-ish, but you got some articulation. And I mean, I was really leaning towards that one.
You
didn't
you
they also
can't
do,
tell me that doesn't look like the Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Well, it's I'm just saying. Now, didn't
60
they also
bucks.
Do, was that the one that did Apache? Is that the same company?
Apache is Fans Toys. This is
okay.
Unique Toys.
Alan.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they did Alan.
Alan did, Unique Toys did Alan.
Which was the first of the dozen third-party Springers.
Well, and there you go. I mean, once again, I wait until all my options are out. I haven't bought any of them. But I plan on getting me a nice Sandstorm, a nice Springer. And I don't care who it comes from. You know, we're all like that. Are we real? You know, we all have our little
favorites,
but
everybody,
we buy across the board.
Everybody's went with Fans Toys Apache pretty much as their dedicated masterpiece Springer. I went the opposite way. I went the open and play Big Spring. It's a perfectly fine. It fits in scale or in the. I'm not going to use scale because scale is subjective in Transformers. Let's be honest. But
look,
in size,
not get into that argument again.
Yeah, in size and motif, in my opinion, it fits in with Masterpiece to me, and it is perfectly fine. And I got it for like $65. $65 versus over $100 for Apache, and I get. As good as, if not a better toy, in my opinion. You know, sure, it don't have any die-cast in it, but it's still a great toy. And that's my opinion. You know, I'm sure Apache's a great toy. I'm a fanboy, fan toys fanboy. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and knock it, but I've never messed with Apache.
Well, here's how I look at it. Look at Reflector. And look at all the different ones they did for Reflector. You know, I'm not going to go into the other ones, but just what comes to mind is Reflector. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I went with, is it called Visualizers?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Make Toys. Yeah.
And to me, I like that one. Now, there is another one that came out that was, I think Fans Toys did one that was a little more cartoon looking. But for me, when I put this next to, all my Masterpiece and all my my Dinobots and everything, it looks the best. So for me, that was the best. But I did wait. I waited until I saw all the different options. And, you know, this is off topic for what you were talking about before. But, you know, we're here to try and help the fans out. And I am a big advocate of wait till everything comes out and see. You know,
how long has this thing been out?
And buys all these things, and I can ask him what it's like. I don't mind when Duran buys this, you know, Sandstorm, because I want to know, what do you think? Because if you don't like it, guess what? I ain't buying it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's
well,
a good thing.
And then there's also times when waiting jumps up and bites you in the ass, kind of like this.
Sure it does.
It's like I got the individual LG God Bomber and Jinrai, which is God Jinrai, basically. And, you know, I'm happy. But now that I know that there's a gift set out that has chrome pieces instead of just silver painted, I'm kind of pissed. I wanted the chrome pieces.
Well,
but, you know, and it came with two extra heads.
Well, here's the thing. The last time I remember, and I've done this a couple times, I went and I've already started to where I'm waiting to see everything. And the last time I can remember where I should have jumped on it was way back when they first did the Masterpiece Soundwave. And I remember I jumped on that quickly. I got my pre-order. I got my Japanese one. My Takara went in. I was very happy. And what was it? A month later or whatever, Toys R Us came out with one with all the tapes. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, but, you know, it's sort of like,
I know that's rare, but
yeah, it's rare. But I mean, it makes you wonder. I meant to ask Aaron Archer when we were on last time how they managed to do that, because that's just some marketing magic.
That, right? It is. It is an overabundance of something that they just threw it together. But and Don, you'll attest to this. I would say more often than not, it pays to wait, as opposed to jumping the gun and getting it right away. Every once in a while, that what you wanted and what you should have gotten skyrocks, but I'm going to say more often than not, waiting is the best.
But we've talked about this before. It's very hard when something that you like is coming out to make yourself wait even longer when it's
I'm going to tell you, Don, that I have seen the light, and I am a newborn Transformer fan. I have waited on that new, what you just picked up for the Bruticus. I have waited and waited, and I haven't bought one single piece. And I'm waiting until the whole thing comes together and someone does a review on it to see if that's what I want. Because you and I both know we love Bruticus, and I want the absolute best one. And I don't feel like buying it, and then a better one comes out. I want the best one.
You don't want to lose your virginity on something that you don't like.
Well, you know,
that's different. I was waiting to get rid of that to anybody, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, without going too far off topic, that we brought this up before is that there's always going to be a better something. It's like when we got alternators, we thought this was it. We got classics. When we got classics, we thought this is as good as it's going to get. We got the new Masterpiece from MP10 up was set in the same general bubble. There'll always be something better down the road. So
I agree. Now I know we're getting off topic, but this is good back and forth. I agree with you, I really do, but then I always go back to, I look at the Masterpiece Seekers and I go, man, you know, I'm gonna get rid of all this other stuff because I want Takara, I want the best. And we got and I think it was Toys R Us that came out with the Skywar. And it was better. I liked it. So I got that. And then we already had Starscream, you know, Thundercracker. And then we started going to the Coneheads. And I was like, you know, they're not looking so good. But I'll keep going. And then we got the next Conehead. And I went, man, this thing really, really sucks. So I waited. And I thought I got what was the best. But I mean, Thrust is a piece of garbage.
That's why I got the BB-7S models. A prime example of that is Kronos versus Phoenix. And I always catch hell from RFC because I have I have Kronos. I am not planning on getting Phoenix because I just want a Jetfire that looks good in robot mode to stand above everybody else and be Skyfire. He does that for me. Yes, Phoenix is a better looking toy. It is a better constructed toy. I do not doubt that for a second.
Yeah, but there's a third option. There's a third option.
No,
I had Kronos. Wait a minute. I had Kronos. I saw the other one. I didn't like Kronos because he was kind of flimsy and the transformation was really.
Yeah.
And I wanted one that looked good just standing there, but it always bugged me that it wasn't that good. And then what's the other one that came out?
Fans Toys Phoenix.
Phoenix. And I saw things I didn't like about that. So I sold my Kronos and I'm doing the third option. I have nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait.
Right.
I'm going to wait and see what comes out next.
I thought you was going to go with that Headmaster one that came out later.
Yeah,
no. You know, if it were an obscure character, I could see it being passed over, but
Skyfire is one of those figures,
character. They're going to do him in third party. They're going to do him again. I think I don't know, because we talked about that before, and they were going to, you know, in Masterpiece, they were going to do all the original 84, 85 series. He doesn't lead up to that, but I still have hopes that they will. Now, the only reason I didn't hold out on Reflector,
he's one of your top tier characters.
And he's dead on.
Yeah.
It's dead on. Anyways. I can, you know, just like.
And see, that's the way I feel about Phoenix. Phoenix, to me, in my personal opinion, captures the essence of Skyfire dead on. I mean, you can't look at that character and think that's Skyfire in every way to me.
And for me, that's Downbeat. That's Make Toys Downbeat.
Exactly.
That's why Downbeat is now fetching over $200 on the aftermarket.
Well, and I can tell you right now, when they come out with an official one, unless it knocks my socks off, I'm keeping this one.
Okay.
Well, you know, listen.
We jumped off topic.
We have way jumped off topic, and I apologize for that, but it still makes for a good, interesting podcast.
This is what happens when I'm not on for a month, man. I just keep talking. Sorry.
But it still makes for a good, interesting podcast, and there's lots of stuff to talk about. So,
yeah.
But Don, a lot of fans, and this is something else I want to thank you fans that actually, there's several that came up to me at Lexington Comic Con, and I know Brett said that there were several came up to him, maybe some of the same people, but several of you actually came to me and told me how much you love this podcast, and I really, really appreciate that, and we thank you so much. And we always love hearing from our fans. And several of you asked, about the upcoming show. And that particular week, we were going to have, actually it was last week, we had Aaron Archer on to help us talk about the closure of Toys R Us. Toys R Us, you know, if you've been living under a rock, it's going bye-bye. You know, Jeffrey's retiring and riding off into the sunset.
He's being sent to a farm upstate New York.
Yeah. So, you know, unless there's somebody in the 11th hour can come up with $5 billion and come in and save the company, and I am not looking for this Kickstarter from this one corporation to do it. To me, that's a joke. That is a huge joke. But unless somebody comes in and buys Toys R Us out and continues it at the 11th hour, I don't see it happening. There are rumblings that people are gathering together steam to reopen the KB Toys because the name is now available again and somebody's bought it and they're wanting to do KBs. You know, at any rate, I'm hoping that we'll get another big box toy retailer in the near future.
In some form.
But as of right now, we're going to be toy storeless, essentially. And a lot of fans at the convention, and some have actually messaged me, Benjamin Yoon, if I only had $4,999,000,000. but A lot of fans messaged me and tweeted to me and actually asked me in person, is Don going to be on the show? And what's his thoughts on the closure of Toys R Us? And I know in the cast rotation, I gave you last week off, Don, because I feel everybody deserves a week off at least once in a while. So I'm going to ask you now, what are your thoughts on the demise of Toys R Us, and how does it make you feel?
It sucks. It sucks and so bad.
There you have it, folks. It sucks.
It should have a nameplate. This whole CF should have a nameplate on it that says Hoover, because that's how much it sucks. This is a situation that
it
should not have happened.
It blows.
Yes. And I think I'm channeling my inner Andy Rooney here, so I'm going to apologize in advance. This is a situation that one should never have happened. Toys R Us was profitable until they were bought out by the company and the debt dumped on them. I am not an economist. I'm I'm a Donomics major, not an economist major. But they were making money. They were doing well. They were bought, and then they had the debt dumped on them to make the other companies look better, make more money, blah, 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 infinity, infinity.
Settled,
so we know
Toys R Us essentially with debt that it can never repay.
Exactly. And now these people who don't need that money to live because they're already multi-million and probably billionaires are wanting their money back, which I understand they want their investment back, but they also knew that there was very little chance of them not hurting everybody in the process and probably them, most of them not caring. I'm not going to go into that. I'm just saying that's something everybody has read and we're all well-versed on. It's people are blaming Toys R Us because the sales weren't there. Well, when you're trying to pay back $7 billion in debt, that takes a lot of damn G.I. Joes to cover that kind of debt.
Well,
so,
let's face it, before you go any farther on that, Don, on that particular topic, it's not exactly like Toys R Us had any one thing wrong with them. There were several things that was going wrong with the company from within. It's just that the reason that they're closing, the main reason is that they were saddled with debt that they could not repay. It's not because they couldn't keep the store shelves stocked. It's not because that they
Didn't have sales.
Didn't have sales.
My store is the smallest store. My store is the smallest store in the chain that I have locally. Literally, I have seen independent grocery stores bigger than my Walmart. Bigger than my Toys R Us, sorry. And they are busy. They meet their sales goals. They don't give me numbers. I've been there once or twice. They know me. But, you know, the sales were there. The staffing was there. There was no reason that store could not keep making money because they were hitting most of all their goals. But be it as it may, one thing I'm going to ask everybody watching live and those watching later on when the pre-record, when it goes up on YouTube, if you're going to these Toys R Us's and you're looking for bargains, which all of us love, but we're toy collectors. We love a bargain. I've made a living, not a living per se, but a great amount of my life has been to affording toys, making it affordable as possible, and enjoying toys. These people are losing their jobs. They're not getting a severance package, and the owners of the company are getting anywhere from $17 million and up in bonuses. And they're getting no severance package.
Well, I said last week, I don't know if you listened.
Last week's show,
but a friend of mine, he listens to the show once in a while. He is actually the assistant manager of one of the Toys R Us's that is closest to me, and he in the last year he left a career with another company that he had been with them for over a decade, and he left that career to take a new opportunity as an assistant manager, leading into a higher position eventually, hopefully, with Toys R Us, because he is a fan, he's a collector, He loves toys just like all of us. And it was a dream come true to come in, to become part of the company that that he grew up with, that was a large part of his life. He was so proud. He even changed a Facebook profile pic to the Jeffrey Giraffe logo whenever he first got hired on. He was that happy about it. And I don't blame him. You know, it was a dream come true. He was assistant manager of a Toys R Us. And now here we are a year later, and basically the company is throwing a big middle finger to all of its employees.
Exactly.
Well, whenever they had an all-employee meeting, he told me they had an all-employee meeting or so here a couple weeks ago, and they were told they were getting no severance package. Several of the employees just said, screw it, I'm out. And they never came back. And now here they are in the death throes of the store, and several people just aren't even bothering to come in. It's like their scheduled work shift, they just don't show up. Why? They're already going, some of them probably already went and found other jobs, to be honest.
Right.
You know, but, and if you're not getting a severance package, why show up?
Right.
You know.
But for those employees, when you go to these stores, please be polite. Please be respectful. They are going, and I'm going to apologize in advance to both you, Duran, you, Brett, and the live people. They're going through shit. This is not their fault. They are being basically tossed out with the bathwater, and a little compassion will not hurt.
Yeah.
Because that's the proper thing we should do, because none of us want to be, and we all know.
I'm sure anger is thrown into it, too. Exactly. It's not just sadness. I'd be angry myself.
Yeah.
You know,
but we all of us, no matter what we collect, whether we collect My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Hot Wheels, whatever the case is, we all know that one collector. Don't become that one guy, because the world has enough of that one guy that we don't need any more of. But personally, this is sort of bittersweet for me. I worked for K&K Toys. I worked for KB Toys. I know how this feels, because I left KB before the end, but I was there when K&K closed the doors. They were bought and was restructured and everything else. There may be something down the road. I hope this KB reimagining does come through. From what I understand, they'll be taking over stores like a Halloween Express would. You know, they're very seasonal stores, mm-hmm. popping up and then vanishing until the next holiday season. I hope this works. I hope a lot of people from the Toys R Us, since they have the experience, can at least get these positions if they become available. But I think this whole thing could have been avoided if the upper management of Toys R Us had looked at keeping a. I'm trying not to sound too. I'm not even sure what the word I'm looking for is at this point.
Debbie Downer.
Well, that plus I'm also not trying to make this into like a rallying calls, because
yeah.
a lot of companies are going out of business. It's a shame that something that serves such a vital part of everybody's childhood, and when you have kids, you can't take them to a Toys R Us so you can watch them, their eyes get huge and just see toys everywhere. Not one row, not two rows, an entire store. And that's something that a lot of people who don't understand is a big part of our childhood. Is walking, we all remember walking into Toys R Us. Even myself, I got off my dinosaur, you know, I walked in when I saw the Transformers. Imagine an entire Toys R Us row, the entire side, not one 4-foot section, not an 8-foot section, 80 square feet of gondola, nothing but Transformers. We'll never see that again. And it's sad.
Basically, what's behind Brett right now?
But in boxes.
Yeah.
But
in boxes. Well, they are in boxes.
Well, I mean, you know.
Boxes are over there.
Yeah. But,
But, you know, I won't repeat what was said last week on the show, because you know there was a lot said last week, and Aaron actually gave us some good insight onto how it's going to affect the industry. He was the brand manager over Transformers for over a decade, you know, like 15 years, I think. And so he knows a little bit about how this will affect Transformers and toys in general. And, you know, if you really want to find out what he said, go back to last week's episode 281, and listen to it. But I will summarize one thing that he said, is that the closure of Toys R Us will impact the toy industry in ways that a lot of people don't realize it will. And let's be honest, a lot of these big package toys, you know, and we're talking like Leader Class, Titan Class. Where's the only place that we was ever really seeing those in brick and mortar? Places like Toys R Us. You know, we got Predaking coming up soon.
Once, if you were lucky, from Metroplex.
I'm not saying that there won't be a place for those, because you can still get them on Amazon and places like that, I'm sure. But, you know, Toys R Us is one of the few places you could go into a brick and mortar store and actually find a Titan Class figure. You know, because they had the shelf space to put those. And now they're gone. It's going to hurt future figures like that, because if there's less places that's going to be able to carry it, will it be worthwhile for companies like Hasbro to produce it?
Yeah, walk down your local Toys R Us or Target row. Look at the male action figures. Your average size box, unless it's like an RC car or something like that, it's not, I mean, like, for example, the Infinity Gauntlet that's shipping with Marvel Legends right now, I saw one day for the first time. That's a pretty huge box. That, short of some, like a Star Wars TIE Fighter, like that Black Series TIE Fighter that came out a few years ago, there's things that's not going to be that big, and that's as big as they want on their shelves because it eats up so much square footage. So, Duran, you are right about that, because that's going to hurt, you know. Well, yeah, we've got Titan Class Omega ready to go. Who is going to carry it now? Just Amazon? Is it a shared exclusive? Because there's no one to carry. There's no one to carry a Titan Class figure, and you're exactly right.
That snuck
right
up on me.
Yeah. Now, I did mention this. I was actually down at Brian's on RFC about 2 weeks ago. We had a little meetup that the Joe Lanna weekend, because we all wound up going to his house versus Joe Lanna for various reasons. And we talked about this on RFC special, and I mentioned this. Getting a consortium of buyers together, like the president of the Bratz, the company that does the Bratz, who is trying to get together a consortium of venture capitalists to buy Toys R Us, I said that as a blue sky idea, just a what if off the top of my head, and they're actually trying to do it. Will it work? I don't think so. Do I want it to work? Hell yeah. But at least someone's trying. But Duran, I think you hit the nail on the head. Unless we get a white knight riding in on their horse, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and I know there's some people that's holding out hope that maybe this Kickstarter thing that that one company is doing, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. Even if they were to raise $1 billion, the debt is $5 billion. It's not even going to put a dent in it, really. Let's be honest here. What do you think? You know, it's like this company says, oh, we'll kick in $1 billion if you guys come up with $1 billion. All right, that's great. Where are you going to get the other three? And then you're still going to be just breaking even, you know, because you're going to be, buying out that debt. Or, you know, unless you're going to assume that debt and reopen the stores, but then you're going to just be saddled with debt that you couldn't pay for to begin with. You know, the store wasn't paying for it to begin with, and that's why it's closing now. You'd just be delaying the inevitable. So let's be honest. A Kickstarter's not going to help it. It's going to take one big investor or several investors to come together and save this thing. And it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Brett, what's your thoughts on it real quick?
Well, do you want my thoughts or real quick?
Either.
And do you really want my thoughts?
Either or. There were out there.
Toys R Us can kiss my butt. I can't stand that store. All right? I've had nothing but bad things my whole life about Toys R Us. Now, I hate being the guy that's going to be the opposite. Actually, I love it. So I'm going to go with it. All right? When I was a kid, I wasn't rich. I didn't have any money. I had to actually take a bus, a tank bus, to get out to Florence to actually go to a Toys R Us so I could buy stuff. At the time, it was G.I. Joe back in the mid-80s. And I remember saving my pennies and my dimes and everything and going up there and buying this, bringing it up to the store, to the counter. And I remember a woman cutting it open to check the contents that I didn't try and steal something inside. That's what I remember about Toys R Us as a kid. All right, I'll go past a little later when they started doing the store exclusives of Star Wars. I remember being lied to constantly towards collectors. Did you get the 12-inch Han and Tauntaun? Nope, we ain't got it. And they'd be sitting in the back for their buddy. Yep. That's what I remember about Toys R Us. All right. I remember my wife working at Toys R Us, and I remember them treating her like crap. Now, this has nothing to do with the employees, because I think they're all treated like crap. I think that the, whoever owns these stores doesn't give a crap about their workers. And that says a lot for their workers. I mean, when you talk about people leaving and everything, I don't blame them. They treat them like garbage. They don't treat them like they should. They don't pay them like they should. So when someone comes up and asks for something, I kind of understand. They just blow them off. But I mean, regardless. So in a nutshell, I don't mind that they're leaving. I had nothing but bad things about Toys R Us. And that's the truth. Now, as far as the your assistant manager friend and the workers that actually stuck with it and everything, I do feel sorry for them because finding a job is a pain in the butt and no one should be put through that, especially because someone higher up didn't want to pay their bills instead rather than put coin in their pocket. So that
well, they had never sorry. They had the investment company that bought Toys R Us back in, was it 2005, I believe, they never had any intention of ever paying exactly. off that debt. It was, this was the end result that they wanted because it was going to line right. their pockets regardless. It's a tax right. write-off for them.
That's what I'm saying. So for those employees that are sticking it out, that's fine. But I'm just saying, everyone talks about all the wonderful things about taking their kids and going to Toys R Us and seeing the giraffe and seeing happy-go-lucky things. It's not always that case. Now, for anyone that says, man, you've only had one Toys R Us. Do you know how many Toys R Us's I had in the tri-state? Five. All right. I had plenty. I got the same thing from every one of them. When they had a toy exclusive, whatever, they treated collectors like garbage. They lied to them. And what did they do? They sold this stuff to their buddies for a profit. Now, that happened. I know it happened. That ticks me off. Not to mention, like I said, when I was a kid, one of my only one of the few times that I was able to go up there. And I was treated like a common criminal because I saved my money and I bought my toy myself. So yeah. I have a little bit of bitterness on that. But you know what? You see both sides to it. Do I still think that the employees don't need to be treated like that? No. They're going to be out of a job. So, yeah, I still agree with you when you go there, be respectful and all. But I'm not sorry to see them go. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. Sorry to see them
go. Sorry, not sorry.
That's right.
Well, you know, and there's we could go on this for forever, and you know, there's all kinds of, you know, it's a bittersweet thing, I guess. Some of us, you know, we don't mind seeing Toys R Us go, like you, Brett, and I can see your point of view, and I do get that because there's, I can't say every time I've been into a Toys R Us it's been a rosy experience. You know, I've been in there several times. Not the ones near me. I've been in the one in Lexington before, and they have lied to me about, you know, having something in stock whenever it was in the back. You know, I can't say it's always been a rosy experience.
Do you happen to remember the signs that said that our employees will not go in the back for collectors? Do you ever see that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those signs.
Have you seen that in Walmart? I haven't. Have you seen that at Target?
I remember when Target was purposely punching the holes on cards to mess them up so collectors wouldn't buy, you know, them all or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I remember many anti-collector. See, that's one reason I've always tried not to be that kind of collector. But yeah, I remember several places, you know, would, you know, Target would punch extra holes in cards or, you know, one point I was at a Target where I used to live and I asked them if they had any of these other figures in the back because I was trying to find the rest of the wave. And they said, well, we can't bring out a certain figure for a collector. I said, your hooks are empty. You have nothing on the shelf except this one figure. They come in a case of 8 and you can use 7 on the shelf because you have 2 pegs. So you need some anyway. And I need to buy them ones if you have the rest of the wave. They would not bring them out. They said they.
Now that's what I got at Toys R Us.
Yeah, so
I've gotten that from Target before. So yeah.
Again, it's going to vary from manager to manager, store to store. But
it will. But my point being is that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're asking me to feel sorry for a company that has.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for them because.
Well, wait a minute. Been religiously against collectors. And they think they're righteous because they want a kid to come in and buy something. But well, guess what? I'm a consumer. You are supposed to sell to me. And by you being biased at who
their tagline for many, many, many years was, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. That means a Toys R Us kid can be any age.
Right.
Exactly. My other question is, if they're so worried about all those kids getting the toys and everything, why the hell are we where we're at now? Obviously, there weren't enough kids.
Well, one thing, Brett, I'm not countering what you're saying. I'm just adding another viewpoint, is that my local Toys R Us, the smallest one in the chain, has an absolutely fabulous staff. They know the product. They're nice. They don't mind me coming in. Heck, I've had time when I've not had anything else to do and I've been just killing time. I've helped them set a couple of modulars. Because I know how to read, you know, it's like, what are you doing? I'm helping y'all set this because here's the modular sheet. The stuff's in the buggy. I got nothing else to do for 20 minutes or so. So here, I'll put the stuff up. You know, I didn't mind doing that because they were nice to me.
And that's so, boredom, Don. That's boredom.
conversely, the Florence store was one of the biggest ones in the tri-state. And they treated everyone like garbage.
That's the only store that I've ever seen a Titan Returns Metroplex in.
They get more than any other store. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I don't have any, you know.
Well, you also have to understand at one time, Cincinnati was a toy hub because Kenner was based in Cincinnati. So they got a lot
of
fresh
product. That's
also why
we had 5 Toys R Us's within the area. I mean, heck yeah.
But you know, we've talked about that. We had an entire episode last week on this. I wanted to see what Don's thoughts were. You know, a lot of fans were asking.
Oh, you got mine also.
And we got Brett's too, you know, because he's here too, you know. But you know, it's something that a lot of people are very polarized on, and we'll be talking about it for a long time to come, I'm sure. Let's move on to our main topic of discussion, although we're probably not going to go on it a whole lot because, I mean, we're already reaching an hour and a half, and, you know, I've been generally trying to keep the shows to an hour, hour and a half max. We're going to go a little bit longer than that this week, but, you know, we've had some good discussion, and I think it's okay just once in a while. But this is something that we kind of touched on in a previous episode of TFYLP. It's been quite a while, maybe a year or 2 years, maybe even 3 since we've actually even touched it. But it come up in a discussion. I keyed in on something other, and it was a group where someone was trying to sell a Nucleon Quest Super Convoy, and that's the, for those of you who aren't familiar which one that is the God or the Genrai reissue in black and red. It was a, I believe, a Toys R Us Japan exclusive, And it was in 2001 that it was released, so 17 years ago. Me personally, I've always heard that any toy that is 15 years or older is considered vintage. And if you really think about it, you know, back in 2000, 2001, Generation 1 was considered vintage then, and it's considered vintage just as it's considered vintage now. But at that time, in 2001, it was only, what, 12 years since G1 had ended? So, it's a big question. People told me that, you know, 20 years is considered vintage. I'm like, okay, please tell me where you got that information. I was linked to a Merriam-Webster, I think it was Merriam-Webster. Let me look at it real quick. Yeah, Merriam-Webster says mainly refers to wine. But when I Googled something how old it was to be considered vintage, Google says 20.
All right, so well, real quick, I did the same thing. So I Googled the definition of vintage, and it all talks about wine, which I think is funny. And then, but it does say something that's old enough, but not old enough to be considered antique.
Antique is, I would say, 50 years or more, in
well,
my opinion.
Then I looked up, and the first definition of antique says anything that's at least 100 years old.
Oh, okay.
But I do know this. If you look at antique cars, when it comes to when you title a car, to get an antique plate, it has to be 25 years or older. So, in my mind, antique is 25 or older.
Yeah.
How old is G1?
It's over 30 now, so.
It's not vintage anymore. It's antique.
It's actually
moved past that.
Interesting way. But, you know, it's something that I don't think there's ever been anything that, and I don't really look for there ever to be, a definitive place that says, okay, and I'm not, you know, some people say action figure authority. That's not all inclusive into me. But there needs to be an authority that states, okay, this is how old vintage is.
Well, first of all, I made a joke and said that makes Don antique. So, I mean,
Dontique.
It's no. Dontique. So, but here's the question. Duran, are you old?
I'm old. I'm 40. Right, I'm getting ready to turn 43, so.
But you're not older. You're just old.
I'm just old.
All right?
I'm stale.
I'm young. I'm just not younger. And Don's just older. So, see, you have a different, you know, area. To be honest with you, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. The term vintage, and I actually was going to try and do the opposite of what Don was going to do, because I know he's going to talk about how everyone's got their own vintage, this, that, and the other. And weren't you?
Get out of my head. You're reading my mind.
Yeah, I mean that. So, and all that's good. But I'm going to go off right now, and I'm going to be the mean guy, and I'm going to say, you know, screw you all. It's G1. G1's vintage. Everything else comes after. G1 is vintage.
Well,
done.
The question is, the question rose, though, you know, well, the person that was selling the Nucleon Quest Super Convoy, he was told that, you know, he had apparently stolen pictures from someone else to sell an item. That in and of itself is a big thief, you know, and it's a big red flag. He should be banned for that, in my opinion. But I keyed in on the fact that he was also told to that his post was going to be removed because he was selling a non-vintage item in a vintage-only forum. I keyed in on it. I'm like, wait a minute. Nucleon Quest Super Convoy is at least 17 years old. That, in my opinion, is vintage.
Nope. Would you like to know why?
Even though it's a reissue mold, it's the only...
Would you like to know why?
Why?
I'll give you a perfect example. Okay, if you go out and you get a vintage, and I can't remember the year, I'm sorry, Shelby Cobra. I think it was in the 50s, if I remember correctly. Sorry if I can't I'm not as good as a car guy as I used to be. Okay. And you sell that as a vintage car. It's a vintage car. However, you can get a kit to make another car look like that. All right. Just like,
but that's a different car though.
What if you get a kit that has every single piece that the vintage one had, but it was made current? Is that vintage?
That would be a reproduction.
It's a reproduction. And I'm sorry, but reproduction and reissue are interchangeable in my opinion. That's a reproduction. It's not vintage.
But it's an original character, though. It's an original character.
You're changing things. You talked about an original mold and an original G1.
An original character. Well, it's an original character that is now 17 years old.
I still don't think it's vintage.
Okay.
I disagree.
Brett was right, and there's two ways for me of looking at vintage. One, it is based on an individual's aspect. What I think of a vintage being older than Brett, I think of G1. Yeah. I think of G1 being vintage because
there's no question G1 is vintage.
Right. But again, I also think basically when you're growing up, when you get older, and when you look back at the stuff that you liked when you were younger, you might call it vintage because you're different, you're older, but it was there when you were younger. So in your mind, regardless of whatever rules there might be, you know, in 20 years, 30, let's say 30 years from now, someone is going to look at Robots in Disguise Bumblebee. That's going to be vintage to them, or antique. I mean, but I'm just saying, in their mind, I disagree
based upon definition alone.
Well, nothing current can ever be vintage.
No. I'm saying the exact opposite.
I'm asking Brett though. You're saying that nothing current like RID and all that can never be vintage.
Not to me.
Because vintage is set. But that's based on your youth. Absolutely. Growing up.
I just find that very questionable though. It's like, because you know, in 30 years time, you know, RID 2.0 is going to be somebody's G1. In 30 years time, they will consider that vintage. Okay. I would consider that vintage.
You use two terms there. Two terms. And we've always had synonymous with G1 to vintage, and you shouldn't. All right? Saying someone that their whatever it is their G1, I agree with. To me, Generation 1s means your first time seeing it. Okay? G1 was my G1. Now, other people might look at RID, whatever, and that's their G1. That's their original start. That doesn't necessarily make it vintage.
But this is a mold we all know. The classic Seeker Starscream.
Yes.
Okay. Now, to me, based on my knowledge, my growth as an individual, from where I was when I was young to where I am now, this is not vintage.
No.
It's not old enough to be vintage. G1 Starscream is vintage to me, because the amount of time that has passed since the toy came out, since I had the toy, that's vintage. But, a person, a kid, a young adult, a teen, a tween, whatever, in 20 years, this will be vintage to them because it was what they had when they were younger. And the G1, even if they're aware of it, it will be an antique, because of the frame of reference to what they have. So this will be vintage to somebody in 20 years because this is what they had when they were young.
To me,
and it's been replaced.
I agree with that.
To me, vintage refers to a passage of time for any figure. Eventually, you know, everything is going to be vintage eventually. according to this rule, in my opinion. And really, if you're wanting to sit here and argue one way or the other, none of us are right. I'm not right. Brett's not right. Yeah. You're not right. Because there's no it's all subjective. It's all subjective.
Based on when you were exposed to something as a youth and how much time has progressed. I don't even think it really matters.
I don't even really think it matters on the person's perspective. I think it's like from the time the toy was released to the time you're in now. For example, Beast Wars was released in 1996. It is now 2018. So Beast Wars is 22 years old. You know, to me, they are vintage Beast Wars. You got vintage G1, vintage Beast Wars.
Benjamin Hughes had just said vintage is also known as used. I agree with that.
I felt used many times in my lifetime.
You know, flip-flop. Do I agree with it? No, but guess what? There's people out there that use that. How would you like to know that you just bought a vintage car? Guess what? It's used.
Yeah. But again, it's like you said, Daron, it's all subjective. All of us are right and none of us are right. But I think there's a lot more. I think the point in which you become aware of something as a collector and you look into and you look back and you go 30 years into the future and you have a wife and you have kids or whatever the case may be, and you look back at these toys. And you go, let's say you go to a toy show just on a Sunday afternoon to look at the stuff with the kids, just to kill an afternoon. And you see classic Starscream. This was your first Starscream. To me, this is your vintage because it was what you started with. It has been replaced through the years. And you're looking back at this with a fondness for the way things were. That makes it vintage.
Well, see, you know, I'm going to say this. I didn't. It was brought up in the discussion group where I raised the question, and I don't disagree with this point. Let's say you're part of a discussion group on Facebook or a sales group that sells only vintage toys. If the rules of that sales group says, okay, it has to be at least 20 years old to be considered vintage, then, okay, if that's your definition of vintage, then that's the rule that we will apply to this. But if me personally, if you're out and about, if we're out and about and you run into me at Walmart and we get to talking about Transformers.
Or Toys R Us.
Yeah. Well, for at least for a little while.
Next couple weeks.
If you talk to me about Transformers, I can refer to G1 and Beast Wars and even at this point RID, the first RID as vintage toys, because they are 15 years or more older. To me they're vintage. But they have not been through the aging process, as it were. You know, in 15 years, in my opinion, what's on the shelf right now will become vintage. It's like a moving thing. Exactly. And at some point, say 50 years, 25 years, 50 years, it'll become antique.
Yeah. You know,
is G1 antique?
I think G1 is could be considered antique at this point.
Don, go ahead.
Okay. No. Basically, it's a sliding scale, like you said, Daron. Imagine, take the Price is Right range game. We all know the range game, okay?
Yeah.
As it moves up and down the prices, your range of your target range changes.
Yes.
This is what this is.
It's adaptive.
It's adaptive. But the one thing about this whole thing, it'll never be. You can add every definition from the dictionary, people's definitions, because the one thing that will not tie this thing down to a particular definition is the feelings of the people involved, mm-hmm. the nostalgia they have connected to these themes.
Yeah, but nostalgia shouldn't have anything to do with
vintage. It doesn't. Well, and here's my argument to your point, Britt, about say RID 2.0 never becoming vintage.
It will yes. never be to me. Correct.
Well, to you, and if that's the way you feel, I'm not going to argue that, because we've conceded the fact there is no definitive definition, that everybody agrees upon.
That's what I was trying to say. Yes.
But by your definition, okay, they're not the original toys. Okay, right. I will not argue that RID 2.0 Bumblebee is actually G1 Bumblebee redone. I'm not going to argue that. But there was never a G1 Thermidor. There was never a G1 Bisque. Never anything remotely like it. Those are original characters, original Transformer toys. In my opinion, 15 to 20 years down the road, they will be vintage toys.
To you, yes.
You just don't want to admit it.
No, I'm just not going to. I do like the fact of what we said a while ago. And the more I sat here and thought about it, I really, really like it. I like saying that it's someone else's G1, and that is really a Transformers phrase, a term. Nowhere else do they really say G1 except for Transformers, and everyone knows. Well, we're talking about the first line. Yeah,
we all know that G1 refers to the 84 through 90.
It does for us. But I also believe that there's people out there that think that Beast Wars is their G1 because that's their first generation of Transformers for them. That I agree with. It has nothing to do with how old they are, how vintage, antique, or whatever. If that's your first incarnation,
to a specific
it's your
era.
First one. Absolutely. So I like that G1. That's your G1. The stuff coming out right now, that's going to be someone's G1.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible as that may seem, that's still going to be someone's G1.
But that is the dividing line. You can refer to when we talk about G1, we know what we're talking about. G1 is the 84 through 1990, 91 toy line that was released in the US and Japan and Europe. We all agree that is G1. Then there is Beast Wars. To me, there's G1, G2, Machine Wars, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, RID. Those are eras. But whenever you go back, let's say here, G1, I've just bought a vintage Transformer. Mm-hmm. By making that statement, I just bought a vintage Transformer, doesn't indicate whether, in my opinion, doesn't indicate whether it was Generation 1 or Beast Wars or anything like that.
But I can tell you right now, if you'd said that to me, I would think G1. If you said that to someone that came out in Beast Wars, they might think you have a Beast Wars figure.
It can be a point of view.
It's subjective.
It's subjective. But in my opinion, if you use the adaptive scale, like Don so eloquently put, the range game.
Sliding scale.
The sliding scale. It applies a reasonable standard that is measurable and agreeable, in my opinion. It uses
But I think putting that term of antique or vintage is incorrect, because that is also subject to everyone's interpretation. Like I said, mine's different.
Okay. For example, I'm gonna give you an example. When I was younger, before I started working real work.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. My parents retired, and my family did antiques and collectibles. My dad did furniture. Mother did Madame Alexander dolls, glassware, things such as that. I did whatever I could make money on. That's where Don and I basically got it started. But one of my dad's great loves was mechanical banks from the early 1900s. I mean, we're talking about springs, levers, 80, 90 years old, made of pot metal, just made basically die cast banks. One was a baseball. You put the coin in the pitcher's hand. He would toss the coin. The batter, based on springs and levers, would swing. And then the catcher was a giant coin slot. and the coin would go in and drop down into the bank. This thing was made in like 19. I think it was made in 1902 or 1904 by a company lost to the ages. That to me is an antique because of the age involved.
It's 100 years old, yeah.
Exactly, because that used to be the definition. If something is more than 75, because this is what we ran into when we did a lot of the places we sat up with our stuff. If you're going to call something antique, it needs to be 75 years old. That's what the definition was. Again, this is 1980, 1984.
Right. And now it's, according to Wiki, is 100.
Exactly. Still,
yes, yes.
So, you know, and let's be honest. If you went to somebody who was like our parents or our grandparents' age, who happens to be into toys and collectible toys and everything, I kind of wonder how many of them would consider Generation 1 Transformers as vintage.
I don't think many of them would, because they probably, again, wouldn't. Their perception of what is a vintage or an antique is based on what they were exposed to then. So it's you know, there's no way to nail this sucker down other than just everyone agree to disagree, because there's not going to be the right answer.
Even that, it's just everyone, like I could say right now that I consider antique anything that was before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I would consider vintage when I was growing up.
That does leave a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole Jay point Zachary, is that it's just different for everyone.
Jay Zachary in the live chat, he's had some good points, and this is a really good one here. As Transformers collectors, we will never have the luxury of only defining something as vintage. We will always need to add the era tagline. G1, vintage, as in vintage G1, vintage Armada, vintage Beast Wars, etc. Mm-hmm. I responded, and I agree with that.
I responded with, and it's just, there's just too much and too many generations to define it absolutely.
Because if you've got Masterpiece Prowl, that's a G1 character, mm-hmm. but it's not vintage Prowl.
Nope,
because
you said Masterpiece. You've narrowed the search.
Yeah, I need a good G1 Prowl. Okay, do you mean G1 Prowl as far as what came out in 84, 85? Or do you mean the character that looks like G1 Prowl?
Right,
so and it would be a masterpiece.
It's character, but what rendition are you talking about? The vintage version?
In my opinion.
Are you talking about the more current one? Masterpiece.
In
Or movie.
If we were to get a definition of what vintage is, it could never come. That definition could never come from within our own community. In my opinion, that definition would have to come from someone outside of this community, somebody that is a toy authority, but not necessarily a Transformers collector. I think that's the only way you could get a unbiased opinion of what vintage is. Jason Tate actually he pointed out something too. Star Wars fans are dealing with what's vintage, and it just scrolled up on me, damn it. Star Wars fans are dealing with what's vintage too. At this point, Power of the Force 2, which I believe was just called Power of the Force, came out in 96. That's 22 years ago. How is that not vintage?
Please don't remind me of Power of the Force.
That was 22 years ago, Don.
Not again.
I could be wrong.
He's rocking.
I actually think it was 95, but that's beside the point.
Oh, God, those were dark.
That was a horrible time. However, I will say this much.
God.
The amount of steroids that were put into those characters to give them all beefy chests and everything was amazing.
Well, okay, Brett, we need to have a show at one point that just talks about living through Power of the Force from 94.
Oh my God! Don't know.
94 to 98 was like just to being a collector. Lightsabers.
I'm not a big alcohol person, but I need a lot of alcohol
Dawn.
To go through that particular episode.
Power of the Force, right there, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Long saber, short card, short saber, long.
You oh my
circle Boba Fett.
That's not the point. Just think about all the wasted hours it was, because you wanted to get every variation, and never mind.
Okay, orange card.
That was a bad time. That was a bad time.
Orange card freeze frame. Green card freeze frame.
I actually like the green. I like the freeze frames, but then they were horrible. Anyway, another time.
What is vintage? Vintage, and we stated this from the beginning, there is no definitive definition of vintage. But I think most people agree that something at least 15 years old can be considered vintage of some sort. You would be hard pressed to correct somebody if they picked up a Beast Wars, a first run Beast Wars toy and say, this is a vintage toy. Maybe 10 years ago, you couldn't have said that. You know, this is an original Beast Wars toy. But I couldn't pick up a Universe 2.0 toy right now and say this is vintage. It's not old enough to be, in my opinion.
But that's your
opinion. Yeah. But, but you know, whenever you get into a discussion of what's vintage and what's not online, it is very easy to be drawn into assumptions and assume that the other person thinks exactly the same way you are. We've illustrated that here right now.
Sure.
But my opinion of vintage is different than Brett's.
You know, what's good and what's not. I like this, you don't like it.
Yeah.
It makes us different.
And you know, my opinion of what's vintage is different than what Brett's vintage is, opinion of vintage is. Don's is kind of a hybrid of both of ours, it seems. So, you know, you can't just go into a discussion. And this is something that I even fell into in that discussion on Facebook. I just assumed everybody thought that 15 years or older was vintage. I was wrong.
I was wrong.
So, you know, that's something that will be argued until there is no more time.
The heat death of the universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think there's some great stuff that we've talked about here tonight, and I really appreciate everybody in the live chat. There's been some really great comments and ideas brought up in there. Thank you guys ever so much. As always, check out our sponsors at CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Use the promo code at Ripped Apparel, TFYLP Pod. You can save 5% on your order. Or is it 10%? I can't remember. It's on the screen there. If you,
10%.
Yeah, 10%. And as always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, help us keep going. At patreon.com/TFYLP. Every little bit helps. And without you guys helping each and every month, this show wouldn't be here right now. And that is a true statement. we appreciate everything you guys do. You guys have any closing thoughts before we wrap up real quick?
I'll wait till Don's done.
I'll just say this. Again, if you go to your Toys R Us, be polite, be respectful, be the good kind of collector, the good kind of fan that we all know we can be, and don't let your, and this is going to sound strange coming from me, don't let your love of the deal keep you from being a decent person. So there's that.
True.
As far as the whole vintage thing, if someone says, hey, that's not vintage and you think it is, there are a lot more important things in life to worry about. Just agree to disagree respectfully, but it can be a fun thing to topic. But I think we can all agree that this Beast Machine sucks, and then we'll just leave that there.
I don't know about that. Some of them did. Brett.
Well, thinking of Toys R Us, and I was trying to think of what would be the best way to sign off on this, and because I've had some bad experiences, but people have had good. So I thought I would go with the wonderful words of Picard and say, what we leave behind is not as important as how we've lived. And I'll leave it at that.
I like that. I like that quote. It's one of my favorite quotes, actually. I knew where you were going as soon as you started what we leave behind. I'm like, hey, I like that quote.
That's right.
All right, guys. I think this will wrap us up for this episode of TFYLP. Apologize for the length, but we had some really great stuff here. Yeah. Love the feedback on the Ouch My Wallet. Want to hear some more? So tweet us on our Twitter account at TFYLP. Let us know if you love Ouch My Wallet. We'll bring it back if you want us to. Also on Facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Get on there and post and tell us what you think about the show. And the best way to tell us what you think about the show is to subscribe, like, and share everywhere you can. Tell people about TFYLP. Help us keep continuing to grow. We're on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, you know, so we're all over the place. We're in places that I don't even publish it to that actually distributes our show. So that's awesome.
We want to eventually change our name to Visa so we can be everywhere you want us to be.
We already are.
That was terrible.
We already are.
That was terrible. But it was worth the effort.
It definitely was. Well,
I think I heard Brett with that one.
For Brett, Don, I am Weird Wolf. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Happy Easter.
And happy Easter. And don't fall for any April Fool's Day jokes because, you know, it's on Easter as well.
I'm sorry. I was wrong. Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy Easter. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.